podcasting is a good way to be looked at as an authoritative figure in your niche. You want to improve your career positioning? Having a podcast will definitely help in that way. I mean, 600 million bloggers, it's only 600,000 podcasters. So that's a 1,000-to-1 ratio. That will make you stand out.
Welcome to Podcasting Made Easy. I'm your host, Christine O'Donnell, a journalist, podcast producer, and media coach. This podcast is a resource for podcasters that breaks down what it takes to launch a podcast and grow that podcast brand and business. So let's get you started. On today's episode, we have the VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn, Rob Walch. Libsyn is the world's largest podcast network, and he's been podcasting since 2004. He is the host of the award-winning podcast 411 and the host of Today in iOS, the first and largest podcast about the iPhone. His son, Porter, has a podcast called Porter's Podcast, and he's now helping other people and businesses build their podcasts and grow their brands. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Christine, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you. You're my first official guest.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Why, in your opinion, should people podcast?
There's a lot of reasons to podcast. It could be a hobby. It can be a church.
First official guest.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Why, in your opinion, should people podcast?
There's a lot of reasons to podcast. It could be a hobby. It can be a church just wanting to get the word out, literally the word out. It can be someone who wants to promote their brand, someone who wants to create a brand. You know, a podcasting is a good way to be looked at as an authoritative figure in your niche. You want to improve your career positioning? Having a podcast will definitely help in that way. I mean, 600 million bloggers, it's only 600,000 podcasters. So that's a 1,000-to-1 ratio. That will make you stand out from those that are blogging. So if you have a topic that you're blogging about and you're not podcasting, you really are not a good marketer. You should be podcasting.
I agree with you. Do you think that this is because there is so much more room for the podcasting industry to grow?
Well, yeah, there's a lot more room for growth. Right now it's a 4.5-to-1 ratio, iOS to Android. Mm-hmm. But there's 5 times more Android devices in the world. So right now, people are really just consuming podcasts on iOS devices for the most part. So the average iOS device consumes 25 times more downloads than the average Android device in the podcast world. That is a huge disparity, and that shows a huge potential for growth in podcasting, where it can easily double from where we're at today, just because there's so much growth potential on Android.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. Someone's got to make that happen. Do you feel like it's happening right now as we're speaking? Someone is Androiding away?
There are people inside Google that are working to try to get a native app inside Android. It's a political thing. They're going to have the people. It's difficult to get an app to be native and inside the Android world because they want to limit that. And they need to see that, yeah, people really want a native podcast app. So, you know, it's a matter of if you have an Android device, you should start using the native Google Podcast app. It's not native. I mean, the Google Podcast app, which you have to install. So you have to go to Google Play Store, search for Google Podcasts, install that app. And if enough people use that, then maybe Google will make it native. And that's really what needs to be done.
Got it. So, okay, interesting. So I have Google Play on my phone, but I don't have Google Podcast. So...
yeah, Google Play, forget yeah. Google Play. Yeah, stop using that for podcasts. That's horrible. It's a horrible experience. It's just bad. Google Podcasts is the future of Android and podcasts. Go to the Google Play Store, find Google Podcasts, download that icon. It's really the icon. The code is actually native in Android, okay, but the icon is not. So to show up that icon, you actually have to install it. And if you're on Android, start using that. That would be my recommendation.
Something I find frustrating is that there is no hub of data anywhere, and you have a hub.
You say that's frustrating. I consider that an advantage of podcasting.
Explain.
There shouldn't be a place where you can see everybody's numbers. People want to be private. Most people, when they think, oh, everyone should see their numbers, it's because they're thinking about monetization. Most people do not monetize their podcasts. Most people want the podcast to be private, and there's no reason for their numbers to be out there in the world. So I think the fact that there's no central place where you can see what each little church in your neighborhood is doing for numbers is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. Now, I personally get access to a lot more data than most people, but it's not public data. And I can aggregate that data to tell people what averages are and things like that. And I do share that information. So that information we readily share, the aggregate numbers. Any podcast compared to the Joe Rogan podcast, really tiny. Joe is huge podcast. Billions of downloads, right? The most popular podcast of all time.
And he's been doing it for a while. To just launch a podcast and for it to reach Joe Rogan's numbers.
I had someone tell me the other day, about a month or two ago, they said they're going to launch their show and they're going to get 2 million downloads an episode. I said, no, you're not. And they're like, what do you mean? You're not going to get there. You're not going to get to that level. Well, yeah, I've got all these followers on social media. I go, it doesn't matter. Social media followers do not equate to podcast listeners. A perfect example, one of the big YouTubers, 18.8 million subscribers equals 43,000 podcast listeners.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. That's how things equate.
So if we could dive into downloads a little bit, what's a good average number?
Number is about 130. 130 downloads per episode within 30 days of release is the median. Half the episodes released get more than that, half get less than that on Libsyn. And then I should point out, for those who don't know Libsyn's the largest of the podcast hosts. We're about 30% of all of Apple's downloads globally in 2017. No one else was even 10%. So we're the largest. We have the best look of data. And everybody that hosts on Libsyn is paid for. So when I say the median is 130, in podcast world, if you took all the podcasts, the median would be actually much lower. But for people that are serious about podcasting and paying, the median is about 130. And again, half or lower, half or higher than that. So if you're getting 500,000 downloads an episode, you're actually doing pretty well. If you're getting 5,000 per episode, you're in the top 7% of shows, just to put things in perspective. It's really difficult, to monetize. I had another email string recently with someone, and they wanted to move to our Libsyn Pro platform, which is the higher price. They wanted the ad insertion. So we're having this conversation, the ad insertion, and the reason they want ad insertion is they want to test downloads of episodes from different advertisers from this area versus that area. And then the guy goes, and I get 20 downloads an episode. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're not going to get very good A/B testing at 20 downloads an episode, and you're not going to monetize. He's like, what? I'm like, you're not going to make any money. At 20 downloads an episode, you will make no money. Don't monetize. I go, that's the wrong mindset at 20 downloads an episode. Mindset of 20 episode downloads an episode is growth, 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 or comedy classes, or something, because you're doing something not right yet, right? Because your audience should be bigger than that. So at that level, you have to worry about content and growth. And that's the only thing you can think about at that level. Monetization should not even be in your vernacular at that level. But people want to monetize at 20, and that's the wrong mindset. Yeah, and podcasting is a great way to help grow your business and promote your brand and your product. If you're getting into podcasting to promote your brand and your product, you could have 500 listeners to your podcast, and you could be very, very successful with your product and your brand with that podcast. There's a podcast called the Chameleon Breeder Podcast. Mm-hmm. He gets about 800 downloads an episode, and he is hugely successful because he sells chameleon cages. So his audience is chameleon breeders, and he sells cages to chameleon breeders. And if you have 800 people that are listening that are chameleon breeders, you are really, really hit your niche, right? I mean, you've knocked it out of the park. And I would say this, if you think about this for 500, when's the last time you listened to the show? When's the last time you were in front of a room with 500 people in the room speaking to an audience of 500? That's a huge room. That's a really, really large room. Yeah. When we met at NRB, that room had 75, 80 people in it, and it was a pretty good sized room, right? And that was less than 100 people that were there in attendance. Yeah. So 500 is a huge, huge room. People don't realize how big a room that is. And most people have never spoke live in front of 500. But if you could talk to 500 people every week, wow, I mean, that's a big deal. Even 150 people on your podcast, or the median at 130. That's still a lot of people. That's more than I got to speak to at NRB. Yeah. And it took me 6 years to get NRB finally to let me speak there.
Really? So you had wanted to speak there for 6 years and
Oh, yeah. I've applied to speak there for many years, and they would just, nope, they didn't want the podcasters there in RB.
Wow. And I mean, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, NRB is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and that was held in Anaheim earlier this year. And a statistic that you brought to the table was that such a huge amount of people who are podcasting in the faith-based arena, and it's hugely effective in spreading the word. I'm glad that you got to speak.
Yeah, it was fun.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Libsyn? If there's someone who is new to the podcasting world and they're wondering, where should I start my podcast? There's all these different media hosts out there. What's best for me? Because I find there might be different fits for different needs. What are your thoughts?
So let me bring it back one step first.
Yeah.
To understand why you would even need Libsyn. A lot of people don't realize, they think, oh, I'm podcasting, I'm just going to put my podcast up on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Apple doesn't host any podcasts. They don't host a single media file. So to get your podcast into Apple Podcasts and iTunes, you actually first have to host your file somewhere, and you have to have what's called an RSS feed. An RSS feed is, it stands for really simple syndication, but what it really is it's a treasure map of your content on the internet. So you need to have this RSS feed, and you need to then submit that feed to Apple. And that's where Libsyn comes in, and other podcast hosts. We'll help you manage the RSS feed, and we'll help you host your media files. So you have a place to host the media files and an RSS feed, and that's how you actually are able to podcast. So without a media host, without an RSS feed, you can't podcast. And that's where Libsyn comes in to make it really easy, and then give you statistics back on how your show's doing. So you know if you're getting over 130 or under 130 downloads per episode, geographically where those downloads are coming from, what user agents, when your downloads are coming. So this is why people choose Libsyn. And then the other big reason they choose Libsyn is distribution. We help you distribute out everywhere. So I've been inundated the last couple of days helping people getting their podcasts onto radio.com, which we're just launching, and I just had another group go into Pandora. We were the launch partner with Pandora. We're launching here with radio.com as well. So Libsyn helps you distribute your content to multiple places so you can be everywhere. Because ultimately, that's the secret to growth, is be everywhere.
The secret to growth is being everywhere. When you say everywhere, what do you mean? Do you mean
everywhere that
Apple,
you can listen to
Stitcher,
Pandora,
Podcast,
iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Spotify, radio.com, everywhere. Being everywhere really means being everywhere. Any place
speakers.
You can listen to audio, you should have your podcast there.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people at Libsyn moving their podcast to also be on smart speakers, like
having an Alexa skill?
Home or Alexa.
Yeah, having an Alexa skill is a good idea. If your show is short, you can have a Alexa briefing, but it has to be less than 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Most podcasts are much longer than that. Having an Alexa skill is okay. It's not going to be a huge amount of your audience. It'll be a small percentage. Again, the majority of people, 86%, consume podcasts on a smartphone. And 4.5 to 1 ratio is iOS versus Android. So obviously, clearly the number one place is to be an Apple podcast. Matter of fact, my definition of a podcast is you have an RSS feed and you're in Apple Podcasts. If you're not, then you're really not a podcast. Because once you get into Apple Podcasts, that then distributes you out to Overcast and Shifty Jelly Pocket Cast and Podcast Addict and Luminary Now and other places. So it gets you out to all the places, the aggregator apps, a lot of them, they pull from Apple's podcast directory.
So now that we're talking about Apple, something you and I had an email exchange about earlier today was the new and noteworthy category in Apple, getting your podcast featured. And you told me this is an eye-rolling question.
Oh, God. You know, you also said beginner mistakes was one of the questions we might talk about.
Yes.
That's a beginner mistake, is worrying about Apple's new and noteworthy.
Okay.
New and noteworthy is this thing that some people push and some of these marketing gurus try to push new and noteworthy. And it means nothing. Because first off, the front page of New and Noteworthy is the only one that matters. And that's hand curated by Apple. So there's nothing you can do to game it. And then all the subcategories have these New and Noteworthy pages, but nobody goes to them. It doesn't, if getting featured in New and Noteworthy on the subcategory pages does nothing. We've looked at it. It does nothing to your audience size. There's no bump. It does nothing. So worrying about getting into New and Noteworthy is worrying about the wrong thing when you're launching your podcast. I know people that have launched their podcast. There was this rumor that if you didn't get featured in within 8 weeks in New and Noteworthy, then you'd never get in. So people would go 8 weeks trying to get featured in New and Noteworthy, didn't get featured, close their show down, start a new show. And I was asking people, why are you closing your show? Well, I'm starting a new one so I can get featured in New and Noteworthy. I'm like, because they're listening to really, really bad advice that's out there. So New and Noteworthy is meaningless. And worse than meaningless, it's detrimental. If you're starting a podcast, you want your call to action to be not rate and review my show on Apple Podcasts. It's tell your friends. You want to tell your audience to do something? It's not go and rate and review. It's mention my show in social media. Tell your friends about my show. That's your call to action. And all these people are telling the people to go and rate their review their show so they hope they get featured in New and Noteworthy. And that actually hurt their show when they're doing the call to action. It should have been promote my show. That's your call to action. That should always be your call to action.
So tell your friends, word of mouth is the best way to grow your podcast audience. That's what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Word of mouth marketing is always – podcasting is long-form content. The most popular podcasts are over an hour long. I mean, if you look at the top 200 podcasts on iTunes, the average of the top 200 podcasts is like 68 minutes. The median of the top 200 was 55 minutes. So podcasts are long-form content, and long-form content spreads by word of mouth, not by little snippets, not by vines, not by a little 320 character tweets. It's by word of mouth from people telling their friends, just like movies. It's a lot like movies. No matter how much you spend marketing a movie, it doesn't really matter if the movie's bad. It's about people telling their friends. Like I say, go see Endgame. It was really good. We went and saw Endgame last night. It was really good. You don't need to sift through the credits though this time. You can leave once the credits start. Oh, that's a spoiler for you. There's nothing at the end. So there, I just saved you 10 minutes of your life.
I do want to bring it back to the New and Noteworthy thing. I know this is a beginner mistake and something that's overrated and quote meaningless. However, when some people have been featured on that front page, they've seen a bump in downloads, correct?
On the front page, but that's 100% hand curated by Apple. And there's not really anything you're going to do there other than really being noteworthy. Apple's going to feature you on that front page because there's something noteworthy about your show. And noteworthy isn't, hey, I have a podcast. That might be noteworthy to you, but that's not noteworthy to the regular folks. So you have to have a reason why your show is actually noteworthy for Apple to consider it noteworthy. So in Apple's opinion, what makes a show noteworthy is someone wants to click on it. It's something that the average person, the non-techie, sees it and thinks, oh, I need to check that out. And that can be because it's a celebrity. Mike Tyson launching a podcast is definitely noteworthy. Dennis Rodman has a podcast called On the Rebound, which, by the way, is not a basketball podcast. It's a relationship podcast. But that's noteworthy. So, you know, and people think, oh, yeah, Dennis Rodman, right, caught your attention. And that is what Apple considers noteworthy. There has to be something about it that's noteworthy. And if you're not noteworthy, okay, that's okay. It's okay to accept that. Most people – podcasts aren't going to be noteworthy in Apple's opinion, right? Noteworthy means it's different than all the others.
I just feel people's dreams just crashing to the floor.
But it's okay. Don't worry about New and Noteworthy. If you get featured, that's a bonus, right? It's not a goal. It's a bonus, but not a goal.
Well, can you tell me a little bit more about some of the podcasts that are hosted at Libsyn, like from the big guys to the small guys?
So we have some of the biggest shows out there. So we've got Joe Rogan, we've got Sam Harris, we've got Lore, we've got Mark Maron. So we've got a lot of the big ones, Bill Burr, Bill Maher, and Trader Joe's. So we got a lot of big brands too. So we have Trader Joe's, we've got John Deere, we've got TaylorMade Golf. So a lot of big brands coming into podcasting as well. And I think that, to me, is the most exciting part about podcasting is we're seeing more and more brands coming into podcasting. The Federal Reserve Bank has a bunch of podcasts. So it's really unique in what's coming in the space. You've got podcasts from companies that you would consider probably the most boring companies in the world, Accenture, PwC, and Ernst & Young. They all have podcasts, which is great because they hit a lot of business people, right? A lot of business people, those companies cover, the three of the big four, and they all have podcasts. And all those, they all have podcasts on Libsyn. They're probably mad at me now for saying that the boring companies, but they're accounting companies. You can't get any more boring than accounting, right? So that is exciting to have those kind of shows on board because that is showing that podcasting is moving into the mainstream. And more people now have ever listened to a podcast in the US than have not listened to a podcast. We're over the 51% mark for the first time. 70% of the US population knows what a podcast is. This is a good thing. And again, we're just in the early days with only, the handset situation, as I mentioned earlier, it's still so skewed iOS. We haven't moved into the mass market yet as far as consumption.
So what do you feel those brands that you just mentioned, the quote boring brands, are they successful with their podcasts?
Successful mm-hmm. means they're getting a message out to their target audience. And from that perspective, yes. I mean, one is eBay, selling on eBay. The podcast is geared for the sellers on eBay, not the consumers, but for the people selling. And they do a great job every week releasing a podcast that informs their sellers. The sellers are the heart of eBay. Without the sellers, there's no buyers, right? You have to have people selling things. And they tell the sellers what to do to improve their game. And the better the sellers do, the better eBay does because they get a cut of the sales. So from that perspective, eBay, selling on eBay, which I think they're changing the name to eBay Business, or they're changing the name on it. But if you just search eBay, you'll find the podcast. I think they're about to change the name in the beginning of May. But the point is, it's a podcast that they consider successful because they're reaching their core audience, their target audience. And that's always should be the goal of your podcast, not to be Joe Rogan, right? Joe Rogan's target audience is anybody, right? It's everybody. Guess what? He gets millions and he's a really funny comedian. You can't use Joe Rogan as a barometer. He is a unique individual. People don't realize how talented Joe is. I mean, if you look at his wiki page and you see everything he's done, see that he was a Taekwondo champion in the US when he was like 19 and 20 years old. And then he said, I'm bored with this, so I'm going to become a comedian. And a few years later, he's on talk show, talk radio on television so he is a guy that when he sets his mind to do something, boom, he's there and he's very successful. He's kind of a Renaissance man. And he set his mind on podcasting and boom, he's the top podcast in the world. But don't ever use his numbers as a benchmark. Hardcore History, Dan Carlin, another one, couple million downloads per episode. You can't use them. You have to look in your niche and your top and see how you're doing in your niche. Podcasting, I like to say this, podcasting isn't a niche medium. It's a mass medium. There's more people that listen to podcasts each month than use SiriusXM or listen on Pandora or listen on Spotify in the US. But there's a lot of niche content in that mass medium. And you have to find your niche and compare to your niche. Don't compare to other things. And if you're hitting your target audience, you're getting 300, 400 downloads an episode, and it's your target audience, you're doing really well. I mean, I think the most boring one that we have that does well is Smead. They make file folders. They have a podcast out there. It's for organizing your life. And their target is basically office managers is their target. When you talk about podcasts and manila folders, then you can't get any blander than that, right? But they have a podcast they consider successful.
This is great content.
the joke is, if you're going to do a podcast and you want to target CEOs of companies, you don't do a podcast about management. You do a podcast about golf and elite golf clubs, right? and you talk about things that are going to be of interest to your target audience. Don't think that you're going to train the CEOs on management style. So just know your audience, know what they're going to be interested in, and do a podcast on that.
So what do you feel are some tools that people can use to actually grow their podcast, scale their podcast, increase their audience base besides word of mouth?
Well, first off, it all starts with the content. Mm-hmm. And people hate when I say this, but the reality of the situation is great content trumps bad marketing. Great content trumps great marketing. bad content trumps great marketing. So if you have bad content, it doesn't matter how good your marketing is. So first and foremost, it starts with great content. If you're spending 80% of the time of your podcast on marketing, you're spending it the wrong way. It should be 80% on the content, 20% on the marketing. It all really does start with making good content. If you talk to Lore, I mentioned Lore, one of the biggest podcasts out there, he spends 35 hours every other week on a 25-minute podcast. And he spends all of that time on the content and none of it on the marketing. And you ask him, what have you done to market your podcast? And he will tell you nothing. He's never done anything to market his podcast. It just grew from word of mouth. And if you talk to the big shows, most of the big shows out there I've talked with, and they all had the same thing. They sheepishly, when I asked them what they did to market the podcast, they sheepishly said nothing. They worked on the content. They worked on getting good guests. So, but there are things you can do. Now you say, okay, well, I got to do something, right? You got to do something. So what can you do that's something to kickstart, to build that first little bit of audience? So one, you can spend a little bit of money. And Overcast is a really good place to spend some money. You can buy ads in Overcast to let people know about your podcast. Spotify, you can spend some money to promote your podcast in Spotify as well. And then you can find other podcasts in your niche and ask to advertise on those podcasts. So if you want to spend money, if you have money and you want to spend it, those are the three places I would tell you to spend money. Now, the other thing you can do where you, if you don't have money, is you can interview people in your niche. You can go into the blogs that are covering your topic and interview the people that run those blogs and edit the interviews. This is so important. When you interview somebody, edit the interview, take out the ums, the ahs, the you knows, get rid of all of that. Because if you make the person you interview sound good, they are likely to promote the interview. But if they listen to it and they said, over and over, and that's all, when they listen back to the interview, all they remember is them saying, they're not going to promote it if they don't think they sounded good. So make your guest sound brilliant. If you're not going to edit yourself, which you should, by the way, but even if you're not going to edit yourself, edit your guest, make them sound good. And then once you do interview somebody, don't just say an email. This is the worst email. Our interview's up. And that's the email. I'll get that. Some people will interview me and then they'll go, our interview's up. And that's the email. I'm like, well, okay, up where? What's the link to it? Send me an embed code for the player. Send me a direct link to the page where the interview is. Send me a direct link to the media file itself. Heck, even handwrite me a couple of tweets that I can copy and paste into my Twitter stream. So I don't have to do anything but copy and paste it into my Twitter stream, right? Make it easy for your guests to promote the show you interviewed them on. I can't stress that enough to people. And so that's just a hint, by the way, Christina. That's just not when this interview comes up.
No, I appreciate it. That's what I call the social media toolkit. So for the podcast that I have been working on, I'll send an email with a graphic, soundbite clip, and some quotes and all of the links to the different places that it's located so they can go ahead and share that. And I'll actually change the links so that they're bit.lys so I can track how successful those reshares are.
And I'll say this, if you host with Libsyn, you can do that in Libsyn. We have a place where you can put a custom code in the URL you share and the embed code you share with somebody so that you can see if your guest actually promoted it.
Yeah, that's why I've been doing the bit.ly for the other podcast. I didn't know that Libsyn does that. Is that an extra cost or is that just part of?
If you have the advanced statistics, the $20 or more plan, mm-hmm. When you go and publish an episode, you'll see a little thing that says tracking code. So like when you hit publish, you're brought to a screen and it says tracking code at the top. You can put in a little tracking code, then copy the URL. The URL will then have the tracking code and the embed code. And then you share that with the guest. And then you can see if that guest actually did their job and promoted your show. And that way, later on, you can see which of your guests you got the most bump from that cause of them. And then say, okay, yes, I want to bring that guest back on. Or no, this guy never, I got nothing. So he didn't do anything or she didn't do anything. I'm not going to bring them back. They're worthless. So you can find out who is actually promoting when they said they would and who's not. So, yeah.
Does that tracking code, does that send people to where does it send people to? The show notes to iTunes?
Oh, no, the tracking code, you give them a direct URL, mm-hmm. and if they click on it, it starts playing the episode. You just know that they actually clicked on that URL. And if you give them the tracking code inside the embed player, it's in player they embed on their site, and people click play on their site. So you know it was coming from them. So it's not going to take them anywhere. It takes them to the media file. But in our statistics, it tells us that tracking code was used.
Got it. I found that a lot, not everyone, but there are some really, really wonderful, helpful people in the podcasting industry that once they've learned so much about podcasting and how they've had their success, some people have been overly abundant in sharing that information and being willing to help others, as in the best way to promote your podcast is usually on someone else's podcast. And it's kind of relying on your niche of people who are already doing this. Have you found that with your podcast?
Well, I mean, yeah, and reaching out to other podcasts and getting on other podcasts is also a good way. But that's tough when you're starting and people don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's easier for you to bring people on yours. But yeah, if you can absolutely contribute and get on other people's shows, do it. By all means, get out there. Do the circuit, right? You always say yes. Anybody asked to interview you, always say yes. Never say no. You want to be everywhere. Because that then people discover you that way.
I think that's your motto, Rob. Be everywhere.
Always be everywhere. Yeah. And that means being on every other people's podcast too. That's part of it. You have to make yourself available and your content available. You can't hide it behind a wall. You don't want to lock it down in certain places. People go, people only can get my podcast if they give me their email address on this website. Well, that's not a podcast, and good luck with that. You're not going to grow. If your object is growth, don't put barriers between your audience and your content.
Something I'm curious about, and this is because I've been doing some research in the podcasting world, and it seems to be lean towards men. More men seem to be podcasting than women. But I don't have access to all of the data you do. What have you found?
It is still skewed more male, without a doubt. And it has been. It's not as bad as it used to be. For the first 8-9 years of podcasting, it literally was 15% female. That was it. And it was steady. And it's grown in the last few years. It's starting to become more female. And that has actually done more to help podcasting growth than anything else in the last few years. The more women that have been coming into the space as podcasters, because they're giving more content that women are interested in. Early on, it was just... it was really a sausage fest in this industry. And you go to the podcasting conferences and it'd be all men at these conferences. And it's changed in the last couple of years. It's gotten to be more women. So that is a good thing for podcasting. And we can't get enough women into podcasting soon enough. So if you're a woman and you're podcasting and you're blogging and you're not podcasting, you really have a great opportunity to grow your audience.
I agree. And thank you for sharing that. I think that it's good for women to know that there is space to grow here in the podcasting world. So I have a couple more questions for you. I know you've got to leave shortly, so I'll skip ahead to our audience question. And this is from someone named Mark Stowers. Mark is asking, how long did it take to make the breakthrough to large-scale downloads? You know, the overnight success that took 5 years to get to. What other marketing do you do, and when do you start seeing sponsors come on board? That's a couple questions in there.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, the question is how – I've heard this one before. How long does it take? You know, what should you expect when you first launch? And it really depends on the show and who your niche is. Again, you could have the Chameleon Breeder podcast that is hugely successful at 800 downloads an episode, and that's never going to get above that. But if you have a comedy podcast and you're sitting at 200, 250 downloads an episode, you're not funny, or people just don't know about you. And if you've been doing the comedy podcast for 5 years and you're still at 200 downloads an episode, you're not funny. I hate to say that. It's brutal. I've said that one time on the feed, and someone emailed me going, I have a comedy podcast and I have less than 200 downloads an episode. If I had heard you, I would have quit a long time ago. So I go, not only was that guy not funny, he had no sense of humor, right? So the point is this, it depends on what your show is, what your potential audience is, and how good your show is. So to say that there's an average that people are going to hit, it's hard to say. Lore, he had another podcast. Aaron Mankey had another podcast before that. And he was steadily on the other podcast, a couple hundred downloads an episode. And that was it and for years. And then he launched Lore. And within 6 months, Lore was hundreds of thousands of downloads an episode. So in a really short period of time, his second podcast blew up on him. So it really just depends. I've seen shows come out of the gate like gangbusters, like Lore did, and really knock it out. But there's very few podcasts that ever get to the levels that Lore get to. Most don't do that. It takes time. But I will say most podcasts within a year, where you're at, you're going to be close to that number 3 years from there. It seems to be your initial growth seems to be in the first year. And at a year, you're not happy where your numbers are. That's where a lot of people start quitting, realizing, hey, I got into this to monetize, but I don't have an audience. So they quit, unfortunately. So I would say within a year, look where you're at. That 6 to 12 months should be where you're starting, where your growth is gone and you're starting to flatten. Now, if you don't have any growth in the first 6 months, that can be tough. And again, that's all the things we talked about earlier in the show on how to do that.
So if a podcast were to start at nothing and then in the first 6 months to find themselves at 13,000 downloads per episode.
Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, you're doing really well. I don't care what niche you're in at that point. You're doing well. If you got more than 1,000 after the first 3 months, you're doing something really, really well because you're way past the median number. Again, my goal for success without knowing a topic or anything like that, I say 500. If you can get to 500, you're very successful because you've broken away from friends, families, and acquaintances. You're now past anybody that you ever knew and you've moved out of your circle and you're bringing in strangers. And that's the goal, right? Get the word out to strangers. That's why you're doing this.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rob, for your time. I really appreciate it. For anyone listening who they want to find you or they want to listen, I know you have a number of podcasts.